easier to see. Peering through an open door, she saw that a short hallway led to a bathroom and provisions area stocked with self-heats and ring pulls of water. The wire racks held enough to keep several people alive for days. Still, even then, Christy didn't think the soldiers pursuing them would give up. She'd seen the uniforms. They didn't wear them like men who'd merely borrowed them from stores within the installation. Seeing that the bathroom and provisions room were secure, she moved forward, checking the other door. It was locked with a sliding combination mechanism. She took a large step back and aimed her gun at the lock. Christy kicked a booted foot against the door and went through with the .38 clutched in both hands. The room held even more computer equipment that seemed to pulse with electronic life. No clues were provided as to what they were there for. The centerpiece of the room was the familiar hexagonal shape of a Matrans unit.
Oh, thank Gaia.
Christy stepped closer, studying the interior of the gateway through the armaglass. It was empty, but the glowing metal discs set into the floor signaled the unit's readiness. The speckled armaglass made it hard to see inside. Then she noticed the color, a jade so dark it almost looked black, the tint only visible when she didn't look directly at it. The vanadium steel doors were shut tight. She knew nothing short of a missile could penetrate them. Without hesitation, she reached for the control pad beside the doors and punched in the access code. The doors recessed smoothly. Stale air rushed out over her. Christy moved away from the Matrans unit and retraced her steps to the keyboard. She searched the screens anxiously.
Come on, Ryan, where are you? Where is anybody?
She brought up other menus, playing other scenes across the monitors.
Doc!
On one screen, she saw that Doc was still rummaging through the office where the hidden door was. His torch was down to almost an ember now, and he had the Lama shoved into the front of his belt as he pushed his way through the shelves and books lining the walls. The floor was littered with books, files, and what remained of Colonel Henry Walker. Christy found the audio control and opened the channel into the office.
Doc!
Christy! My dear lady, where are you?
Safe.
By the three Kennedys. You should not scare an old man that way. I was trying to think of a way to break it to friend Ryan that I had lost you.
You didn't lose me, Doc. I lost myself.
I think that your man perhaps wouldn't have seen that so clearly as you stated. Your care was somewhat entrusted to me.
Old ideas, Doc. A man looking after a woman and being responsible like that.
Christy searched and found another pull-down menu. One of the coded encryptions was for opening the door. She punched in the access code for the hidden door. From the vantage point provided by the SEC camera, Christy was able to see the hidden door swing open. She watched as Doc approached the shadowed entrance.
I knew that was there. However, none of my efforts to open yon portal met with any success.
The others are on their way there now, and they're bringing company.
I had thought perhaps they were ill-met upon hearing the thunderous cannonade.
Do you still have those explosives we picked up earlier?
Why, of course, fair lady. You were the only thing I was in arrears on as far as responsibility goes.
Dig them out, then. We're going to try to close the door after the others arrive.
Christy clicked off the audio portion of the SEC board. They had a way out of the redoubt if they could reach it, even if they didn't know where it was going to lead. Ryan gripped the stairwell's railing and threw himself over, landing hard on the next set of steps. Jack was a pale ghost sprinting ahead of the others, the blazing brand thrust before him, burning more brightly as it struggled to live against the quick movement.
Man said his name was Drake Burrows?
That's right, Mildred. Heard him myself.
He's a major.
Less talking, more running, Mildred. I don't have time to carry you if you run out of air.
Jack waited ahead in the corridor, his torch held away from his body, so some of the shadows still shielded him.
Doc and Christy are inside there.
Ryan scanned the office, taking in the artificed door bisecting the opening. Christy and Doc weren't immediately visible.
Inside.
Ryan crossed the room and peered into the tunnel. A torch was lying on the ground, fighting for its life against a greasy wetness that covered the floor. Doc and Christy were busy working plasex around the inside of the narrow corridor.
Christy, where does this tunnel go?
Matt Tran's unit. Another room just beyond.
Powered?
Yeah. Evidently, this redoubt was compartmented. Different levels worked off their own power sources.
Where'd you get the plasex?
Doc and I found the explosives earlier. I figured we'd pack them out of here, maybe do some trading at one of the other vills for supplies we might need.
They've got to be down here, men.
Here they come, Ryan.
Now we're going to use the whole wad at once. If it works, maybe we'll cut off pursuit.
Of course, the downside is that we'll be trapped in even less space if the Mattrans unit does not operate properly.
Wouldn't have much use for it anyway. I'll shot full of holes from these assholes that are following us.
This'll buy us some time. Another couple minutes should see us clear in here.
Maybe.
Ryan pulled his head out of the tunnel.
Burroughs has a lot of shooters, but I don't think he got that warwag down with him.
Ryan hefted one side of the desk closest to him, finding it heavy enough to suit his purpose.
JB, give me a hand.
They moved the desk toward the door, then turned it on its side, spilling everything from the top. The petrified corpse almost tripped Ryan until he kicked himself free of it.
Throw the torches out. We know where we are and where we're going to head. All that light is doing in here is giving them a better target.
Ryan and JB positioned the desk crossways in the door. Suddenly, bullets smashed against the outer walls in the other side of the room. Before he released the desk, Ryan felt bullets thud to shuddering stops against it. Mildred and Jack heaved their torches into the corridor, and they drew fire at once, putting the flames out.
Stop firing! Save your ammo!
Ryan moved to the left of the door and stared through the darkness. The Major had settled his men into position 30 yards distant, from the stairwell to two corridors running from the opposite wall.
You've got nowhere to go, Carter.
Ryan had nothing to say to Burroughs. If the man didn't know about the Mattrans unit, it would work in their favor. Burroughs would feel time was on his side instead of working against him.
If that's the same guy that was written about in that lady's journal I discovered, he's over 100 years old.
Same as you.
Zip it, Jack. A proper young man doesn't go around mentioning a lady's age.
You think he's been in cryosleep?
When we had a look in that project area, I didn't see any cryo chambers.
Mildred removed the diary from her clothing.
This book I got mentions Burroughs by name, same rank. Said he was the man in charge of Project Security.
What was the project?
They called it Calypso.
Doc entered the room from the tunnel.
Ryan, if I may intrude into the conversation.
I never saw a time when you didn't feel free before.
Calypso may refer to one of the Greek deities. The masterminds who developed the totality concept and the others like it have an obvious fondness for that mythology. To wit,
who was Calypso, Doc?
Calypso is mentioned in Homer's Odyssey. As you may recall, after the Trojan War, Odysseus spent 10 long years trying to get back to his home and family. Many adventures befell him. One was on the island of Ogygia in the Ionian Sea.
Carter, no more truces. You can have your choice of deaths. Come out now and I promise to be merciful. Make me come in after you and you'll be days in the dying.
Go on, Doc.
You see, Odysseus was shipwrecked on the island. Calypso lived there alone. She was a sea nymph, a daughter of Atlas, who carried the entire weight of the world on his shoulders and, as such, had many powers. She fell in love with the Greek hero after saving his life and kept him a prisoner for 7 years. If he would only have loved her, she would have granted him immortality and eternal youth, because those were within her ability to give. Instead, he chose to return home, and Zeus made her release him. Odysseus built a raft and left the island, leaving poor Calypso there to die of grief.
Ryan rolled the story over in his mind. Immortality was one of the greatest things mankind had ever lusted after. He glanced at Mildred.
His name's in the book, huh?
Yes.
JB, did you see any radiation scarring on his men?
Nope.
Means they had to have stayed in the redoubt after the nukes dropped.
They lived in the project area. Dan. But not now.
Stands to reason they've got a base set up somewhere outside the radiation zone. Probably keep a close watch on the Muti communities.
Sure. When we worked our way through the vills outside here, everybody warned us away from the area because of the Mutis. Men like Burroughs, he'd see the Muti populace as a built-in sect device. Probably adds to the stories about how violent they are to keep Outlanders away.
Only we didn't turn so easy. He had to come after us because there's still something here he's protecting.
Too late, Carter. Now you're gonna burn.
His attention drawn back to the outside corridor, Ryan watched as three teams of men carried small barrels out into the open. He aimed his six-hour at the nearest of them. But it was too late to keep the barrel from being thrown. It rolled and tumbled straight for the door. The two other barrels followed.
Christy!
Another moment, lover. I'm setting the detonation switches.
Ryan spotted a corpse.